Is it big enough?
Yes.
Okay. All are condemned, but justification. Need help spelling it. I have it right here. You got it? Justification. Of life. Is available. To all. By receiving the free gift. That's it. You're done. Good job. All right, there it is, guys. So, in the context of this thought, we'll go to Romans chapter 5. We're going to finish up the second part there, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And I want you to pay attention, in Christ and in Adam are not in these texts. In Christ and in Adam are not in this text. That's being transported from 1 Corinthians 15 to Romans 5. Don't get Jedi mind tricked, okay? In Adam and in Christ are not in Romans 5. Keep that in mind. Verse 12, therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death has spread to all men because all have sinned. We'll stop right there. I'm going to dive into a deep trail the next few weeks. It's going to maybe help clarify on the questions we have about babies dying. Notice, we're going to keep reading. Now, stay with me. I'm still developing this. Don't go out in Disneyland for a little bit. Stay with me. It's not saying, and Romans 5 isn't saying, that in Adam all are condemned. Here's what it's saying here in verse 12. Death has spread to all men. Why? Because of what? All have sinned. All have sinned. Think about that. Chapters 1 through 3 is telling us that all men have sinned, right? Everyone's sinned. They missed the mark. Okay? Christ is that mark. So we have to have Jesus Christ in our lives to, you know, have that, you know, sinlessness in Christ. Not that we can't commit a sin. But what's interesting is that at some point mankind will sin. Right? At some point. So man might not be born how do I phrase this? I'm really working on my speech so we don't get too confused. Let's look at mankind, right? Follow me for a second. You know that during every time and every age of mankind, they have followed between four and six of the Ten Commandments. So like in Romans chapter 2, the Gentiles who don't have the law do by nature the things contained in the law. We have law-abiding Gentiles who don't know the law, right? Now, some people think that in Romans is talking about, you know, all have gone astray, all are wicked, all are bad, and they don't cross-reference those verses to go, no, when you look at those Old Testament verses that Paul's quoting, those that say there is no God do these things. So not all mankind are just going to automatically do wicked things all the time, right? You guys following? Because there are groups of people, and you can see unsaved people doing good things, right? Because they can do good things. Now, they still need Jesus Christ as their Savior, correct? Right, they're not righteous in God. They're not righteous, you know, between them and God. They don't have the righteousness of Christ in them. But what we see here is that at some point, mankind is going to sin at some point. Now, we talk about that age of accountability, that phrase. There's no age of accountability. When a child knows good and evil, when a child knows right from wrong, boom, something changes in them. Something's happened. Right? Now, I'm going to develop this more in the next few weeks to talk about this. But it's interesting. All have sinned, so death has spread. Why? Because all have sinned. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not counted when there is no law. So even pre-law, right? So most of the Bible, of the Old Testament, is before the law, correct? 2,500 years, there's no law, correct? We only have 1,500 years of the Old Testament law. You guys tracking? All right, so was there sin before the law? Absolutely. Yes, Romans 1 through 3 explains that. Could a person be righteous with God before the law? Yes, absolutely. Yes. Noah, Enoch. Okay, we have so many people. We went over that weeks ago. I want to keep going over all that. But people in the Old Testament before the law could be righteous with God. The just live by faith. So faith to faith. So pre-law faith and what the law is showing me, pre-law faith, I'm believing what God has shown to mankind. We saw that creation shows there's a deity to be worshipped, a God we worship, right? Okay, the creation does not show the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But pre-law showed that there's a creator that I'm accountable to. I'm going to live according to that knowledge that's been given to me. So now the law is given, boom, and now we see the righteous requirement of God. Okay, the law was not designed for salvation. It was always by faith in the God that wrote the law, correct? The law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. You never look to the law to go, I'm going to do these things to be saved. That wasn't on the Jewish mind. Them being saved wasn't on their mind. It was always by faith in the God that wrote the law. So I want to, out of love, obey the law, obey the commandments when I don't meet them. Does that make sense what I'm saying? We doing good so far? Okay. So, nevertheless, death reigned, verse 14, from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of Adam's sin. Yeah. I didn't sin like Adam, did I? You know, we didn't know what the fruit was, but I didn't go. God didn't tell me, Jesse, now don't go eat that fruit now.
No, God, what did
I do? I didn't do that sin, did I? You didn't do that sin, did you? No, but there's still sin. Okay, we still sin even though we didn't do the same thing Adam did. Okay, who is a type of him who is to come. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if through the trespass of one, many died, then how much more has the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. So now something's changing, right? We have a drastic change. Adam sinned, and he's bringing forth the knowledge of sin, right? So mankind is going to sin. Condemnation, they're going to die. Now, I want you to pay attention, too, because just because you're born again, it doesn't reverse you dying physically, does it? No, you still die physically. That condemnation of death that came from Adam and Eve, Christ's salvation doesn't reverse that. It's the consequence of Adam's sin. We're still going to die, but there's hope for us. There was hope for the Old Testament believers before the law. I'm going to believe in the God of creation. I'm going to live my life according to that belief system. And so when they died, into Abraham's bosom, right? They didn't go to heaven right away. No one can go to heaven until Christ died. They're in Abraham's bosom, the center of the earth, the great gulf fixed between them. Luke 16, where those that followed God, what they were given, are over here. They're comforted. There's joy, all these great things. And they can actually look over and see those burning in hell, right? Luke 16. When Christ died, Ephesians 4, he went down. and he led captivity captive. Those that were following God and what they knew at their time, by faith, he brought them up and out. Now they're in heaven. Whew, praise the Lord. Now, when you receive Christ as your Savior, are you still going to die physically? Yes. Yes, you are. Okay, moving on down here. Verse 16, the gift is not like the result of that king through the one who sinned. For the judgment from one sin led to condemnation, but the free gift, which came after many trespasses, leads to justification. I can have justification. It can be a part of who I am. I can be just in my position in Christ. No more to commit acts of sin. I don't have to do those if I don't want to. I choose to sin. No more, oh, well, we're all just sinners. No, you're not. You're a saint. Saved with the process of unfolding to not sin going forward. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Will you commit acts of sin? Yes. But you have victory over sin to not do that anymore. You don't have to do that. All right, verse 17, for if by one man's trespass death reigned through him, how much more will those who receive, right? A gift is given, and those need to receive it. So there's something happening, right? Something is freely given by God. Freely given. And his name is Jesus. Those that choose to receive it are justified. Holy smokes. No one was ever justified in Christ or justified having God in them before this transaction. Your faith before this, mankind's faith in God, was counted as righteousness. We follow it? But there was not, you were not given the righteousness of Christ in you. Make sense? There's something extreme changing right now. All were condemned. We see that in Romans 1 through 3. Even those that are condemned, their faith is counted as righteousness. That's why those who have never heard of Jesus Christ, remember, the Old Testament is not talking about Christ. Some of you may have heard this. The Old Testament points to the cross. The Old Testament, New Testament points back. That's not true at all. Don't believe that stuff. 2,500 years, there's nothing about Jesus. There's no Yeshua coming. Right? There's no one dying on the cross for our sins. None of that's being talked about. Now what? 2,500 years, no one is saying, man, one day there's going to be a Messiah. That didn't happen until when? Not only when the law was given, but years after the law was given. Hello! Pretty cool, huh? So, the just live by faith. Okay? We see that all are condemned. Now, there's something changing. You can have the righteousness of Christ by accepting Jesus Christ. We'll keep on going on here. Verse 17, for if by one man's trespass death reigned through him, and then how much more will those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, so taking what was just said, right? What was just said. Therefore, just as through the trespass of one man came condemnation for all men, so through the righteous act of one came justification of life for all men. For just as through one man disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one that many will be made righteous. How can the many be made righteous? How? We'll do like we did last week. We'll do some question and answer time. I know it's not traditional. Let's do it.
By faith.
By faith? Okay, that's one aspect, but what's the context say?
Through Jesus.
Okay, how do they receive Jesus? I give you the answer.
Yeah.
You gotta receive it, right? You gotta receive it. There's a truth being said. It's a gift for all of mankind. Now, all are condemned, but not all are justified, right? Just because Christ died for everyone doesn't mean that all are now God's children. You're only a child of God if you receive the gift that's been given to you. Romans 10, and how shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? How can someone receive this gift if they don't even know there's a gift to be received? They can't. They can't receive it. Okay, creation shows a creator. It does not show a gift given through Jesus to be received. That's why God has commissioned or given born-again believers the mission to go out. It's not your purpose. It's your mission. They're two different things. All right? Your purpose in life as a believer is to glorify God. That's my walk, Ephesians 5. That's my purpose. Ephesians 4 and 5. That's my purpose. My mission is to tell about Jesus Christ to all. So as I'm walking and living in victory, as I'm doing all the things through the Spirit, living out the victorious Christian life, I'm telling people how to have what I have. They might not even be searching for it. I don't care if they're looking or not. I'm going to tell them about Jesus Christ because I know between me and God, the only way that an individual can have what I have is if I tell them about the gift. That's it. So what compels me and moves me is not that there's a hell, not that there's a condemnation, not that there's something bad for that person, that's humanism. What compels me is I love Jesus, I love the one who loves me. It blows my mind how people have gone to church for so many years that don't that they're not in love with who they are. They're not in love with the God that they have. They're not in love. You look at their life and how they live. I've been at church for 50 years. And yet when they're outside of these four walls, not our church, thank God, but they're living a life that is not showing, man, I love what I do. I love who I am. Why? Because I know the one that's in me. I understand what justification is. I understand what it means to have a first Christian life. Why? Because I'm living it out. It's not for lack of knowledge. It's lack of understanding. You can Google things and get all this data given to you on propositional statements. This is true. This is true. This is true. This is true. So what? So what? That means nothing if you don't go, okay, here's what faith is. I'm acting on the truth that's been given to me. Not saying yes to a statement. I have been justified. Okay. What do I do with being justified? Romans 6. Paul, I can actually say Paul today. I get so messed up in the Hebrew study. We don't know who the author of Hebrews is, but I always say, well, Paul said. Well, no. We don't know that for sure. Probably not him, but nonetheless. All right. Here we go. Verse 19. For just as through the one man's disobedience, the many are made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many are made righteous. But the law entered so that sin might increase. Now listen, what it's saying is this. Before the law, before God exposed so many things that were sinful, right? Mankind in and of themselves didn't know all the things that were sinful. Was there sin? Yes, their conscience is bearing witness to that. But the law showed, whoa, that's a sin, and that's a sin. That's Romans 7, right? Romans 7 is not Paul being saved, struggling with what to do as a believer. Romans 7 is Paul under the law, trying to live out a Christ-honoring life under the law. You cannot do it. The more the law, as an unsaved person, a Jew tries to do, the more they fail, the more they fail, the more they fail, the more they fail. I had not known covetousness until the law showed me this is covetousness. So Paul, Romans 7 is Paul as a Jew under the law before being saved, trying to live out this law. The more he saw, the more he failed. What shall save me, O wretched man? He says it in verse chapter 7. I thank God through Jesus Christ. Going back. going back to me as a believer. Pretty cool, huh? The law entered so that sin might increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded much more. This is what the Jews got to grasp their thought around it. They're seeing all the things that are wrong, all the things that are wrong, all the things that are wrong, all the things that are wrong. And then they have their amendments of what are wrong, and so they're following more of their amendments over the law. So now it's just bad, 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 wrong, 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 do, right? And then someone comes along and says, I'm going to give you one piece of information for free. Okay. In that culture, for thousands of years, can you imagine going, wait, hold on a second. Do you see how thick my do's and don'ts are? Do you see what God gave us? And now you're saying one man can take away all of this by receiving him. And Paul's answer is going to be yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Absolutely. The law could not do God sending his own son to complete it. Really cool. Now, we have all the history. We've had so many sermons on explaining the history. We have all these things from an outsider looking back, you know, 2,000 years. But when this information is given to the believers at Rome at this time, it's earth-shattering. They're going, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay. And Paul knows this. That's why he's laying it out progressively. It's why he's slowly unfolding. He's answering his own questions as a Jew, with a Jewish mindset in mind. So as he's giving out this truth, he's already anticipating the what is, how comes, maybes, but thens, or what abouts, he's answering those as he unfolds it himself. That's how great he is. Obviously, God's given information to do that. It went from Greek to English real quick. Verse 20, but the law entered so that sin might increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded much more. Verse 21, so that just as sin reigned in death, grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, here's the context. All are condemned, but justification of life is available to all by receiving the free gift. So we have Romans 1 through 3, okay? The just live by faith. They're taken care of. Then we have a Jew under the law. Nope, not good enough. You have moral people. Nope, not good enough. You have all kinds of things, right? Those that say there is no God. Nope, not good enough. Right? So there's all these notes. Nope, not good enough, not good enough, not good enough. And then he lays it out in chapter 5. Therefore, chapter 5, verse 1, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Boom. We have it now. We're sealed. We're good to go. Now we're seeing what transpired over time to get us to Jesus Christ. Adam brought death. Christ brings life. You're still going to die physically. That's inherited. You can't change that. But when you die, it's where you're going to go. And not only that, but I can live a Christ-like life now. So next year, I'm going to focus more on not where we're going when we die, but can you live that out now and how to achieve it. I want people imitating Christ from this local body in our area. In our area, because you can. You can do it. You know, as we grow, as we understand these truths, our struggles become less and less to where you don't have any more struggles. A mature believer can recognize something that could be a struggle and says, nope. Nah. Why? Because this verse, and this verse, and I'm going to live out that. I'm going to act on it as if it's true right now. Justification through Jesus Christ. So what Paul's going to do next is he's going to go into, okay, we have established that we're justified in Christ. Well, what does that mean practically then? What does that mean in my day-to-day life? Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So that free gift that's given to you, that you receive, say, yes, I believe that. Okay? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. If I believe that that gift is so great, I believe that my life would reflect that. You live out the Bible you believe is true. Subconsciously or not, you live out what you say yes to as a belief, not yes to as a statement. There's a difference. You live out, your behavior is modified and changed when you say yes, it's going to change how I live. If I was to read out a bunch of doctrinal statements, I'm pretty sure most of us in here would go, yep. But what does that mean in practical living? But so what that we have these truths? So what we have these doctrines? Now what? These doctrinal truths, justification in Jesus Christ, is to change our behavior, Romans 6. Okay? Now, moving forward, here's the life I want you now to live that you can achieve. So no more looking at the law. No more looking at yourself and morality. No more looking at who you were, how you were raised, where you came from. I've done this, I've done that. I've been going here for so long. Who cares? The worst born-again believers are those that have been at church for 30, 40-plus years and don't live out what they say yes to. You're the worst ones. And I'm so thankful for the new church. I'm so thankful that we're taking in information that we said yes to and then allowing it to change our behavior moving out. And because the stock, stock market crashes, they don't panic. Because I actually win $1 billion, I don't panic. So there's some good too there, right? Not just bad. But I've been given some negative information, I don't bail out. Bob at his house right now is not sad about where he's at. I'm going to speak for him. He knows it's coming. He knows he's going to leave this world. He knows it's coming. And yet he's living out as if heaven's his home right now. I've been around him. I know. When you guys go and visit him, you can see he's not sad or depressed or discouraged. Why? Because he knows that he has been justified once for all. It's affecting his behavior when the doctor said, you're going to die soon. You're leaving this world. He didn't stumble. He didn't fall. He's not struggling with it. Okay? I've been waiting for this day. I've been waiting for this day. The closer I walk with the Lord, the closer I allow Him to flow through me, the more that I am obedient to Scriptures, the more that I just live out this abundant, wonderful life, the more I love who I am, the more I love what I do, the more I realize, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be here. There's nothing here for me. There's nothing here. Lord, please just take me home.
Amen.
And he says, I'm going to, but not yet.
Yeah.
Like Paul, right? When he says, I'm not saying Paul, but any of you understand what I'm saying. In the phrase of this, Paul said, it's more profitable. He says, Lord, I want to go, but it's more profitable to you that I stay. I'm not sure how much more profitable I am to you guys, but I'm still here. So while I'm here, I'm excited to be exactly where God wants me to be with Him. That righteousness that comes with justification, that comes with receiving that gift, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. How wonderful. There's not one mansion in heaven on earth. There's not a house on the earth. Not a mansion on the earth that could tempt me to stay for a mansion in heaven. Earth-shattering news to the Romans, the believers there at Rome. Paul hadn't been to it yet, right? He hadn't been to Rome yet. He's given this information to them, and they're saying, okay. Yes, okay. Now, they're going to take what they're saying yes to, okay to. They're going to let it change their behavior and go through life saying, not just believing, or not just saying, but saying and believing the truth that Paul said and telling others, right? They're not waiting for opportunities. They're making opportunities. They're making them. These believers are putting themselves in a position to tell someone about the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, opportunities do come, right? But they're making them more than waiting. I love this truth so much. Now, I'm saying it in general. We love this truth so much that I cannot help but tell someone about it. I can't help it. I'm not thinking, what if they don't like me? What if they reject it? What if I get fired? What if they start a fight? What if they... All I know is this. Jesus Christ loved all of mankind, and I'm in that group, so much that He died on the cross for me. He saved me, and the more I understand, the more I live out, the more I realize, holy smokes, I don't deserve any of it. The more truth I know and live out, the more it overflows and asserts authority over all that. They might not like you. You might lose your job. You might this. You might that. Is that bad? I mean, people, well, the apostles were killed, but one, they tried to kill him, but he lived. Would it be bad to die for your faith? Would it be bad to be fired? Would it be bad? What I'm saying, what I'm nervous about, can God provide for me when I act on His truth and something negative happens? Now we say that, and I say that too. And God says, okay, here's a circumstance. And you go, oh, not about that, you know, yes, but... Justification, given to all. I believe that. I want to change my behavior. I love this truth. I love who I am. I love what I do. And I'm going to tell others about this one man that I love. Whether they want it or not. Now, I'm not saying be rude or unkind. Right? I'm not saying that. Be kind through the Spirit. Be gentle. If they don't want it, okay, I'm moving on. And I'm moving on. Keep on going. But the fact that I have been given righteousness in me is amazing. All are condemned. Justification of life is available to all by receiving. Each one of us in here at one point, if you're born again, you received it. You heard it somehow on a piece of paper, something exterior, radio, TV, or church service, Sunday school, you receive something that you were told about. And instantaneously, about 100 things happen to you. Crazy, isn't it? Really, really cool. I want to take this justification that I've been given, and I want to use it to encourage others. I want to use this truth to be an encourager, to be a help, to minister. And it's not just me. We can all do that. We can all do it. Think about this church. people of the way. And that's a reality to me. It's changing my behavior. I love who I am. I love what I do. I'm in love with it. I'm in love with it. How it affects our thought process, how it affects my emotions, how it affects my feelings, how it affects everything, how it affects the way I live my life, how it affects the way I talk to my family, my friends, how it affects just my overall being. When I understand that I am in love with Jesus Christ and I love what I do as a believer, right? Your job, as a believer. Pretty neat, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. So thankful for Romans 5 and justification coming through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're thankful that all there is everyone. Everyone can receive this gift. With their heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. If you have not received that gift of Jesus Christ, if you do not know for sure heaven's your home, say, Pastor Jesse, you know what? I am not sure I have ever received that gift. I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior. Everyone's heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If that's you, raise your hand up. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Say, Pastor Jesse, you know what? I do not know for sure heaven's my home. I have not received any gift of Jesus Christ before in my life. If that's you, just slip your hand up and slip it down. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'll just pray for you. All right, Lord, it looks like we're all your children. What a wonderful truth it is to your children that we have been justified by Jesus Christ. We have received that gift. And Lord, I pray that this news that has been said over and over and over, might be rekindled in our hearts, that we would be joyful and excited about this news. To where we love who we are, we love you, we love what we do, and that it would be reflected in our lives and in our speech, and that we cannot help but tell someone about Jesus Christ and justification. Father, I pray also now, as we move forward with communion, that this service would be done that would honor and glorify you. We've done in such a way that would make you pleased with your children. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I'll have our guys come forward. Volunteer, that'd be great. If not, I'll do it. Thank you. text here, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says here in verse 23, I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. John, you want to pray? Thank the Lord for his body, please.
Dear Father, we just thank you for the sacrifice that you made to send us Jesus, that we may be able to be free from the sins that we carry through from the beginning of time. So, Father, we just we praise and we glorify you. We praise you, Jesus, for the teachings that you gave us, for the example that you sent, for your death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you for this reminder that you sacrificed your body for us. In his name.
Amen. Text verse 25, in the same manner, he took the cup, and after he had supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Joe, you want to pray? You thank Christ for his blood?
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for coming to us and giving your life for us, Lord, and you poured out your blood. We thank you that by your blood, we are made new, that you've washed away our sins, and that we can live a life that conforms to your image. Thank you so much, Lord, for your life that you poured out for us.
Amen. Amen. You gentlemen, you may be seated. We'll all stand for our closing song here. We'll just sing the first verse, and you will be dismissed. Again, we have potluck today, so if you're able to stay, partake with us in that. We'd appreciate it. We will just sing the first verse of Nothing is Impossible.
Possible when you put your trust in God.
God alone.